Ask my mom. Mom, why people shout like that? People shout out their shoes and shout out their wig. But as I've gotten older, I got to know the Jesus that they were praising about. And I said, now I understand. It's a little bit more clear to me why they waved their hands. It's a little bit more clear to me why they rock back and forth in their seat. It's a little bit more clear to me because God is a keeper and God is a sustainer. I greet you in the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you don't already feel welcome in this place, I'm sorry for you, because there is a true and a living God here who we serve and who we honor and who we adore, and it is that name that I greet you in. We have now reached a second Sunday in Advent, as you saw and heard in our reading earlier. And for those of you all who are not with us last week, our pastor began a preaching series on overflow or abundance. Thank you, Jesus. On abundance. There's a theologian known as Walter Brueggemann who has many books. I would highly encourage anybody who loves to read and who loves knowledge to go on Amazon or go on Google and just type in his name and see some of the things that he's written. But the pastor shared with the ministerial staff a daily devotion, and over the course of Advent, the weeks that leading up to Advent, every day of the week, there is a scripture that he starts out with, and then it kind of goes into a exhibition of whatever the passage is and kind of gives some background. And as I was reading this week and as I was thinking about the whole concept of abundance, the devotion for the first day of the week really popped out to me. And so as we look at the scripture for today, which comes from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 31, and I thank Jay for his willingness to stand in the gap and to read the scripture for us today. I will be reading from the New Revised Standard Version, and it reads as such. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. As we look at the subject of abundance and as we focus our time in preaching today, I would like you to turn to your neighbor and say, just wait. Turn to a neighbor on the other side and say, just wait. Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, we thank you for your presence in this place. Now, God, I ask that you will fall fresh on your servant. God, minister unto me even as I minister unto your people. For God, if you don't speak in this place, your people won't receive a word. Devil, we give you no power and no authority during this time of sharing. We pray that lives might be truly changed and transformed. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we think about this whole concept of abundance, and as we live in an age of what some might consider prosperity preaching, everybody wants to have a lot. Everybody wants to have the biggest house. Everybody wants to have the biggest car. Everybody wants to have that top-tier job. Everybody wants to be famous. Everybody wants to be noted. Everybody wants to be the center of attention, which is completely contrary to what the Word of God says. When you look at, and part of the reason why we oftentimes struggle in our flesh and in our spirit man is because there's a constant struggle going on between the two of those. The world tells us to get all you can, step on whoever you can, and really don't care about who you hurt as you move up the ladder. Where the Word of God says, love everybody you can, help everybody you can, and ultimately see the kingdom of God begin to grow. Now, as you can see, those two concepts are in complete opposites of each other. One says to move up and don't care about who's around you, and the other says you can't move up unless everybody else is moving with you. And so as we look at this whole concept of abundance and as we look at this whole concept of trying to advance and trying to be all that God has called and created us to do, this particular passage, as I was reading it in the devotion, really stuck out to me, and I would submit to you that there are three reasons why in our spiritual journey that we need to wait on God. And as I begin to think about what analogy I could use, I was in the mall the other day, and oftentimes I like to go to the mall just to sit and watch. It's very interesting if you ever want to really learn about how the humans interact. Just go to the mall and sit for about 2 or 3 hours. Don't say nothing to nobody. Don't move around. Just pick a spot, pick a lounger at the mall, and just sit and watch people. It's amazing the type of behaviors. It's amazing the type of body language that people get. It's amazing what you can learn about human nature just by sitting and watching. Now, I know that might be foreign for some of us because we're so used to talking to people. We're so used to getting up in everybody's business. But sometimes God is like, just sit and watch. I don't know who that's helping, but I'm going to give that one to you for free. But as I was at the mall, I noticed, and if I can use the analogy of this podium being God, oftentimes God walks at a slow and a steady pace. Parents, if you remember your children when they were younger, and you oftentimes see the example I'm going to use in a parent-child relationship, because parents oftentimes walk at a steady pace. But it seems like the smaller your child is, the more they want to run. And so oftentimes when you see a parent walking with a child, the parent is walking at a quick or a steady pace, whereas the child is oftentimes trying to pull them. And it's like, well, come on, Mom. Come on, Dad. You know, I want to get here. And the parent is like, well, wait a minute. You don't even know what we're going to do. And so oftentimes in our spiritual journey, we find ourselves in that situation where we're trying to run ahead of where God wants us to be. And it's important that as we understand why it is that we need to wait, there are three things that this particular passage, one verse, jam-packed with a whole lot of information, there are three things that we need to point out when it comes to waiting. And the first thing that we need to understand in us waiting is that we get strength. Somebody say strength. It said, but those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. Now, many of you all can resonate and can understand what's going on in the picture on the screen. We find ourselves sometime on what I call the rat race of life. We're like a gerbil spinning around on a wheel, spinning, 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 working, 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 but we're not going anywhere. We find ourselves constantly running before God, trying to beat God to the punchline, trying to beat God to where he wants us to be, making deals with the devil and making deals with our boss and making deals with the bill collectors when God is like, just wait a minute. Wait a minute. You're moving, but you ain't doing nothing. You're expending energy, but you're not getting the outcome that you're looking for. You're trying to make people think that you're busy, but you're really not doing nothing. You come into church and play in church, but the God that we serve is nowhere in you. We're tired. We constantly, I'm just tired. And if you live in a state of tiredness, I have to ask you the question, are you expending your energy in the most effective way that you can? Right? God gives us 24 hours in a day. Just 24. I know for most of us, we want about 28, 29, and we'd be good, right? Because we just need that extra time. We just need that extra hour. We just need that extra half hour. And God is like, you're spinning your wheels, but you're not getting anything. You're expending your energy. You're not going anywhere. You're trying to build things that are not providing any fruit. And so you have to ask yourself the question, am I waiting on God or am I asking God to wait on me? Are you waiting on God or are you asking God to wait on you? Because if we be honest with ourselves, most of us are asking God to wait on us. God, this is my schedule. God, this is my house. God, these are my children. God, this is my job. And God is like, wait a minute, what? Have you lost your mind? Like I own a cattle on 1,000 hills. I am the author and the finisher of your faith. You need to be waiting on me. Because when you wait on me, your strength will be renewed. If you're on this wheel and if you're spinning on the wheel and you're saying that you're tired, what the word of God is saying to you today is there is strength available to you, but you gotta wait. There is peace available to you, but you've got to wait. You can't continue to think that you are the God of your life and think that God is going to be the God of your life. You can't continue to try to lead God where you want him to go when God is trying to lead you where he wants you to go. Ooh, it's quiet in here today. If you can't say amen, you can say ouch. It's all right. We have to get to the point in our spiritual journey where we get off the wheel. Now, truth be told, some of us learn how to get on the wheel from our parents, right? So this is how it typically goes in the black community. I saw my parents on the wheel, spinning their wheels, tired, burnout, busted, disgusted, because my parents saw their parents on the wheel, tired, busted, disgusted, complaining the whole time. And so the question becomes, will your great-great-great-grandchildren be on this wheel because of what your children are seeing you do now? Will your grandchildren learn what it means to wait on God from the example that you are setting, or will they continue to be on the wheel that's going nowhere? We've got to learn to wait on God. In 2018, God has moved us. God is calling us to a higher place. God is calling us to a different place. In 2019, God is going to move us a little bit further. And we have to get to the point where we learn how to wait on God. Nothing that has happened here in this church is because of me. It's not because of Pastor Warner. It's not because of anybody in here. It is because that has been God's will for our lives. Because we learned how to wait in 2017, God blessed us in 2018. And the question will become, have we learned how to wait on God enough in 2018 so that when God carries us into 2019, that we will be ready to receive what he has for us? I don't know. It's a question that we have to ask. And we have to wait and see what God is going to do with us. The second thing, and the second reason why we have to wait, is because God will elevate us. Somebody say elevation. Elevation. It goes on in the next part of the verse that says, they shall mount up on wings like eagles. Now, if you look in the Bible, the eagle is one of the only, for the most part, one of a couple birds that is mentioned. And so as I woke up this morning, I was like, let me look up and see what's so bad about an eagle. Like, why is it that God would in the Holy Scriptures make reference to a particular animal? Like, what is it about them that gives us something to look forward to and gives us something to pay attention to? And so I went and I Googled the eagle. And so here are some facts that we, or characteristics that I know, or I learned about an eagle. The eagle is a large and powerful built bird for prey with a heavy head and a beak. Have you ever looked at the anatomy of an eagle? That's one of the symbols that we use in the United States on many of our emblems. Have you ever wondered why it is, out of all the birds that we could talk about, why we chose the eagle? The eagle has an extremely powerful eye to spot potential prey from very long distances. Sometimes in our life and sometimes in our spiritual journey, we have to get to the point where we can spot foolishness from a mile away. Yes. There are some attacks that the enemy is going to try to bring against you that you need to be able to spot from a mile away. So you can say, you know what? Not today. You got the wrong one. Not today. That may have been me yesterday, but that's not me today. That may have been me 5 years ago, but I'm a new person today. Because God has allowed me to have a keen spiritual insight and a keen spiritual eyesight so that I can spot foolishness even before it gets to me. And lastly, due to the size and the power of the many or eagle species, they are ranked at the top of the food chain as the alpha predator. The most powerful bird in the avian kingdom is the eagle. And God is saying to us in our spiritual journey, we need to mount up like we're the alpha predator. We need to mount up like we serve an alpha God. We need to mount up like we serve a God who can bring us out of any situation and circumstance. Some of us need to stop acting like we are alpha. You serve an alpha God. You need to start acting like you come from an alpha and not from a bottom feeder. You need to start carrying yourself. It's not about being conceited. It's not about being pompous. It's about being confident. No, you will not speak to me like that because my daddy is an alpha. No, you will not disrespect me because my daddy is an alpha. I am a king's kid. And you will treat me as such. Some of us need to go home and tell some folks, I'm an alpha kid. You will no longer disrespect me. You will no longer do what you want to do. Well, you can, but it just won't be here. Some of y'all need to go to your jobs tomorrow and say, you know what? You will no longer make me feel like I am less than I am because I am an alpha kid. God gave me this job. God has me here, and you can't do nothing about it. Kids, some of y'all need to go to school tomorrow and act with some of your teachers like you're an alpha kid. You will not say that I'm stupid. It doesn't matter what grades I got last semester, I will do better. It doesn't matter what problems I had last semester, I will do better. Because God is an alpha, and I am a product of an alpha, and I will carry myself like I'm an alpha's kid. Now, my daddy actually is an alpha, just FYI. Apocalypha alpha, amen. Whatever it is. Yeah, there you go. But anyway, in the kingdom of God, I am an alpha kid. And I would encourage you that as you wait on God, that you act like you know. Tell your neighbor, act like you know. When you were big and bad out there in the street, couldn't nobody say nothing to you. You cut somebody out, cut somebody in a minute. But all of a sudden, when you get saved, your mouth closes up. What would it look like? Let me just ask the question. What would it look like if in your spiritual life that you were as big and bad as you thought you were when you were in the world? When people saw you walking down the street, they moved to the other side because they knew what was up. Oh, that's so-and-so's child. You don't want to mess with them. That's so-and-so's sister or brother. You don't want to mess with them. But somehow or another, when we get into the church, we're all quiet and humble and don't say nothing. And God is like, I need you to open up your mouth. There are people all around you who are going to hell in a handbag simply because you will not open up your mouth and say something to them. Let that be your New Year's resolution for 2019. Don't worry about going to the gym. That's not going to last. Don't worry about losing the weight. That's probably not going to last either. What's your New Year's resolution for 2019 is, God, help me to be a better Christian. God, help me to come to church every Sunday. God, help me to show up to Sunday school. God, help me to come to Bible study. God, help me be a better tither. God, help me to do something that's going to help to upbuild your kingdom and not to satisfy my physical needs. God, help me. I just gave you a New Year's resolution if you don't have one. You didn't ask for it, but I gave it to you for free. After we have renewed our strength, after God has elevated us, and before I move on from this, let me just say, for those of you all who are waiting or are scheming or are having backdoor meetings or are plotting with people in your offices about what it is that you're going to do to elevate yourself, God is saying to you, just stop. Just stop. Because when God elevates you, that's like an elevation that no man can do. When God elevates you, that the assurity of that elevation is so seamless. I tell people all the time, if you had told me back in 2010 that I would be where I am today in 2018, I'd have been like, you're lying. No way possible. But as I look back over my life and as I see how God worked things out, and it's almost like a seamless process. It's like, God, how did that happen? God, when did this happen? When did this job open up? God, when did this position open up? God, when did these blessings start coming to me? And God is like, if you would just stay on the plan, just stay on the plan. Just stay on the plan. Don't stay on the Psychic Friends Network plan. Don't stay on the Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Capital One. Don't stay on any of those plans. Stay on the plan that God has for you, and I guarantee you, he will elevate you. He will elevate you to where he wants you to be. Let me say that again. He will elevate you to where he wants you to be and not where you want to be. Because truth be told, if God really gave me what I wanted in life, oh, Lord Jesus, I'd be over in the mental institution somewhere rolling around on the floor. But I'm so thankful that I trusted God's madness when I didn't understand it. I'm so thankful that I stayed on his plan, because the plan that he has worked out for me and the plan that he has worked out for you is something that you cannot put a price on. You want God to elevate you, stay on the plan. Tell your neighbor, stay on the plan. Tell your neighbor on the other side, stay on the plan. Some of y'all need to go home and write that somewhere. Stay on the plan. When you can't trace God, stay on the plan. When that person gets on your nerves, when that person comes to remind you from where you've come from, stay on the plan that God has for you. Because I guarantee you, the plan that God has for you is the right plan. It's the right one. It may not come when you want it, but it's the right one. It may not look like you want it to right now, but it's the right plan. Stay on the plan. And last thing, the last part of the verse, and the reason why we need to wait is because God gives us endurance. Somebody say endurance. The last two lines of the scripture says, they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. For all my weary folks in the house, there's good news for you today. You serve a God of endurance. And that's good news for somebody in here today. For those of you all who are ready to throw in the towel, for those of you all who say the journey has been too long, for those of you all who say the pain has been too deep, God is saying to you in this place that endurance is the plan. Don't give up. Just endure. Don't sit down. Just endure. Don't allow the foolishness that you hear people saying around you to deter you, because you're always going to have haters in the midst. But what the word of God is saying to you today, as we move toward a period of abundance, as we move toward a period of overflow, the Spirit of God is saying to you in this place, my son or my daughter, you must endure. Because the reality is, when you endure, people around you learn how to endure. And people around them learn how to endure, and so on and so forth. Can you imagine what it would look like if we had a church of people who knew how to endure? Yeah, trials and tribulations are going to come. They always do. But God has given us a spirit of endurance. I want to be able to run this Christian race and not get weary. I want to be able to walk this Christian journey and not faint. But the only way that we are able to get to the place where we can do that is if we're connected to a true and a living God. Now, you may say to yourself, well, Reverend Holt, I hear you. I hear about strength. I hear about endurance. I hear about elevation. But how do I get to that point? Like help me to get to that place. And if you fall within that category, I'm so glad you're here. Because the underlining glue or the underlining current of everything that we've talked about today is a man named Jesus. He came here just for you. He knew that at this date and at this time that you were going to be in this place, hearing this word, and that an invitation was going to be extended for you to come. It's not an invitation for you to join a church. We're not a church who focuses on membership. But we are a church that focuses on discipleship. We are a church that is striving to build Christians who are working effectively in the kingdom of God. And if you don't have a relationship with that Jesus today, I invite you to come. Get to know the man who loved you so much that he was disgraced, he was despised, and he was rejected by people who look just like you and me. But he still decided to give up his life because he understood the value and the importance of you being able to have an opportunity to accept him. So if you don't know that Jesus that we're talking about today, I invite you to come. The second invitation I want to extend is for those of you all who may say, well, Reverend Holt, I know the man. I know this Jesus that you're talking about, but I don't have a place to plug into every week. I don't have a place where I can come and get refreshed and get renewed. I don't have a place where I can have an accountability system. Now, we are by no means a perfect church. Chief Center number two, Chief Center number one. We are by no means perfect pastors. But what we are is a church and a leadership team who strive to be all that God has called and created us to be. And if you want to be part of a church where we strive to serve this true and living God, then we invite you to become part of us. As our pastor said, we are a dysfunctional family, but we are still family. We love to walk with you. We love to support you. We would love to encourage you on this Christian journey. And the third invitation I want to extend is for those of you all who may say, well, Reverend Holt, I once was part of the family, but life happened and I fell away. But I'm here and I hear the Spirit of God say to me, my son or my daughter, today is your day to come home. As you stand to your feet this morning, if you fall within either of those three categories, we invite you to come.